We're continuing to study the Lord's Prayer, and now we come to the phrase, and lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. And the phrasing of this is such that, I don't know about you, but when I first started learning the Lord's Prayer, it's like, that doesn't seem right. Is it, will God lead us into temptation? Or, you know, why did Jesus say it that way? Lead us into temptation means this. Since you're leading us, Lord, since you're leading us, lead us away from overwhelming temptation. Since you are leading us somewhere, lead us away from overwhelming temptation and lead us to good things. It's kind of like if you're in a car with a friend and you get in the car and you say, okay, where are we going? And he says, with a smile on his face, it's a surprise. Now, depending on the kind of friend you have, you will be excited or you will be kind of hesitant. And you might say something like this, okay, well, don't take me anywhere bad. Which means what? I want to go somewhere good. Or suppose you're sitting at the dinner table and you say to the cook, what are we having for dinner? And that person says with kind of a mischievous smile on their face, it's a surprise. Depending on your relationship with that person, you'll either be excited or you will be hesitant. And you may say something like this, well, don't give me anything bad. Which what you really mean is, give me something good. So when Jesus tells us to pray, lead us not into temptation, that's the kind of phrasing that he's using. Lead us not into temptation. In other words, don't lead us any place where we will be overwhelmed by temptation, but rather lead us to places where we can stay aligned with you and experience the things that you want us to have, the things that are good, and we will be able to push temptation away. So, temptation, lead us not into temptation, is what we want to talk about. Based on everything that Jesus has told us to pray so far, God is all-powerful, God is our loving heavenly dad, that we are committed to working for his kingdom and his will, that we recognize that we're dependent upon him for our daily bread, all the necessities of life, and that we are committed to forgiving others as we ask for forgiveness. Now we come to this. Lord, I'm in the car with you. I've committed to you. I want your kingdom to come. I want to work along with your will. I want to live for you. I'm in this car with you. Now lead me to the places that are good. But at the same time, recognizing that there are places that are bad. There are temptations that are bad. And so he tells us to ask, lead us not into temptation, because we need his help when we face temptation. We need his help in order to live the life, to stay in the car with him as we go forward. So let's talk about temptation. So this week I want to really kind of drill down and understand what temptation is. Then next week, we're going to talk about some resources that we have to resist temptation, to fight against temptation, and to live the kind of life that we really want to live. So here's the first reality. Number one, temptation is the invitation to disobey God. Temptation is the invitation to disobey God. A young boy went to confession, and he said, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Father, I've had bad thoughts." And the father responded, "Oh, well, did you entertain them?" And the boy thought for a moment, and he said, "No, Father, but they sure entertained me." Temptation is the invitation to continue with what is facing us, to go the direction temptation is heading us. Temptation is not sin. Temptation is not sin. It is the invitation to sin. So I want you to hear me on this, because oftentimes we get confused and we think if we're being tempted, then we've done something wrong. If we are experiencing that invitation to do something wrong, that we have already sinned, that we are not where God wants us to be, that Because if, you know, there's this false understanding by some people that I should never be tempted. If I shouldn't even have those thoughts come into my mind. I shouldn't ever be headed in that direction at all. But it's not true. Temptation is not sin. Temptation will come. You might want to write that down. It's a reality. It's going to come. Temptation is going to be a part of your life. And the more mature you are in your Christian walk, the more you become like Christ, the longer that you're a follower of Christ, the harder the temptations will be. Because you're getting stronger. And the devil will come after you to try to take you down. So some examples of temptation would be, again, temptation is what? Okay, see, is it because of the rain? Temptation is an invitation. Temptation is not sin. It's an invitation to sin. So here are some examples. Someone frustrates you. Maybe they cut you off in traffic or something, and you want to respond in anger. Your natural tendency is, and you are on the edge of responding in anger. That's the invitation. You haven't responded in anger yet, but the invitation is there. Another example. You know you should spend the next 15 minutes in your daily time with God, reading the Bible, praying, the next 15 minutes, but the Seinfeld reruns are on. And you've only seen this episode 6 times. And so you really want to do that. That's the invitation. You haven't made a decision yet. You haven't gone either direction, but that's the invitation. Or you are shopping and you've budgeted a certain amount for groceries and you have that money in your pocket and you are someplace else shopping in for things that you like with your hobby or clothes or whatever it is, sports stuff. And you have that money, grocery money in your pocket, and you know you shouldn't spend it. You've committed with the family that you're going to spend this money on groceries, but you really like to buy that item. And the only money you have is that grocery money. That's the invitation. Or worse yet, you've budgeted money to give to God, and that money is in your pocket. And the temptation is, go ahead and spend it on you. It's an invitation. Or an alluring picture comes up on your screen as you are looking for something online. And it invites you to see more. That's the invitation to do something that you shouldn't do. You haven't sinned yet. You're on the edge of anger, but you haven't given in to it. You're on that edge of decision. How am I going to use the next 15 minutes? How am I going to use the grocery money? What am I going to do with this picture that came up on my screen? It's the invitation. Or you believe God wants you to get healthier, and so somewhere along the line, you committed that you're going to eat healthier, you're going to avoid sugar, you're going to exercise, but on the way out to walk through the neighborhood and get that exercise that you committed to do and you feel so good about, somebody that must hate you in your house has left a piece of chocolate cake on the table. And it's the chocolate cake that you love. I mean, it's your favorite chocolate cake. Of all the things in the world that you could have for dessert, that is exactly what you would want. Somebody in the world hates you because they put it right there on the kitchen table. You are standing at the edge of the invitation. What am I going to do? I haven't given in to temptation. Temptation is there. I'm standing with the temptation, but I haven't given in. I haven't done anything else. Temptation is the invitation to disobey God. And the stronger you get, the stronger the temptations will be. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. He faced the strongest temptations of all time because he was the strongest 100% human, 100% God of all time. That's temptation. Now, there's confusion about sin. So let's talk about this for a minute. A common philosophy says we sin every day and we can't help it. Sin every day, can't do anything about it. It's just part of life. We sin every day. And it's interesting because as I was studying this and I was looking at the commentaries and the Bible dictionaries, universally the scholars said that philosophy demeans and it kind of treats sin as flippant. Because because it also ties in with this idea that mistakes are sin. I sin every day. I make mistakes every day. I can't help it. There's nothing I can do about it. So I sin every day. I can't help it. If sin is a mistake, then we can't obey our memory scripture. Because, look at me, you're going to make mistakes. Anybody here believe they're never going to make another mistake? We're all going to make mistakes. If mistake is sin, then it's impossible to obey that memory scripture because we don't have a way of escape. Here's what sin is. Biblical sin is this: a willful disobedience to God. It's really all about God. Sin is disobeying God. It's knowing what I should do and I deliberately don't do it. Or it's knowing what I shouldn't do and I deliberately do it anyway. So temptation is the invitation to sin. It's the invitation to disobey God. Sin is when I cross that line. So mistakes are not sin. People in your life are going to make mistakes, and you're going to make mistakes. When I was four or five years ago, we went to Europe to visit Sheila's brother, who was he was over there for 2 years for his company. So we flew to Belgium, and they showed us all around Belgium, Germany, different places. And one of the things, I didn't want to do a lot while I was over there, but one of the things I wanted to do was drive on the Autobahn. Do you know what the Autobahn is? It's this piece of blacktop that goes forever, and you can drive as fast as you want to drive until you get to a city. And I want to drive on the Autobahn. I asked her brother Jim, can I drive on the, and he just doesn't answer me. He doesn't want me driving his car. Please, can I? And so we're out with our sister-in-law. It's late at night. Nobody is around. We're headed back from Germany to Belgium. Nobody around, and we're on the Autobahn. I said, and the border of Germany is coming up, and once we get to the border of Germany, my dream of driving on the Autobahn is over. So we stopped to get something to eat. I said, let me drive just a little bit. I just want to drive on the Autobahn. She said, okay, be careful. I don't know why she had to tell me that. Well, that's what she said. So I get behind the wheel and I crank it up. Now it's not in miles per hour; it's in kilometers. So I'm doing this mental math because I want to go over 100 miles an hour. In fact, I really want to get up to about 120, just to say that I did it. Now I don't know if this is temptation, invitation to kill myself, or if it's just for fun. So I get on that, and I gradually crank it up. And I got to tell you, the roads in Germany are not like the roads here. You don't feel any bumps. Maybe it's because your tires aren't even on the ground. I'm driving. I crank it up. I get up to 60 miles an hour, 80 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour, 110 miles an hour. And there's somebody up ahead that isn't driving as fast as me, which I find hard to believe. So I look back, look at my mirror, look back, look at my mirror again, and I start to go over, and about that time I hear, and there's a car beside me. I'm going 120 miles an hour, and I almost hit a car. Now understand, I looked back, but that car was flying so fast. By the time I turned back around and put my blinker on, he was there. I'm going to 120. He must have been doing like 700 miles an hour. Because there he goes. So I start sweating because I almost wrecked us on the Autobahn. That wasn't part of my dream. I almost wrecked us, almost killed us, because I don't think ambulances show up for wrecks on the Autobahn. I think it's just hearses. And so next exit I pull over, I go, Lynn, it's all yours. But now, that was a mistake. It was a mistake that could have cost our lives. But it wasn't sin. It wasn't a deliberate act of obedience. It wasn't, I'm going to do something wrong. There are mistakes that we make in our lives that are every day, but they are not sin. And we need to make that distinction. Those of you that are raising young kids, what they'll tell you in learning how to discipline them is, if it's a deliberate act of defiance, you discipline that. If it's just being a child, then you deal with that and you guide with that. But there's a difference between punishing for defiance and then children making a mistake. If a kid spills milk, is it sin? Well, it depends. If that child looks at you and you go, no, don't do that. Do not spill that milk. And they go, that's sin. If they just accidentally spill it, it's not. So we need to understand, because if we don't understand sin as deliberate disobedience to God, then we can't live in obedience to God. Temptation is an invitation to sin. So how does it work? James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. So this is a rebuke against people who blame God for temptation, blame God for sin, who make an easy excuse. Well, God, you know, God's tempted me, or he's not providing for me, or whatever. No, God does not tempt. God does not give us an invitation to deliberately disobey him. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So when Jesus is pray, lead me not into temptation, he's addressing this formula. Here it is. Temptation and sin's formula is this. They all start with D. Did you notice that on your outline? Desire. We'll fill in the blanks, then we'll come back and look at it. Desire leads to deception. Oh, you got them all up there at the same time. Desire leads to temptation, which leads to disobedience, the point of choosing, which then leads to death. Desire, deception, disobedience, death. So in verse 14, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Desire for something that we should not have. Desire for something that we should not do. It's God created us with desire. There are good desires. And then there are desires that lead in the wrong direction, which are a result of the sinful nature that we live in. So the picture is of a kind of a bait on a hook. If you go fishing, my dad tried to teach me how to fish, wanted me to become a fisherman. I went, but I didn't learn. So I don't fish, but here's what they tell me. You put bait on a hook to lure the fish, right? Or you use a lure without, you know, that looks like something that a fish would like. Something that is very attractive. So temptation is that desire is the bait on the hook. It's something that looks good, that is attractive, getting angry, using my time for myself, using my money for myself, an alluring picture that comes on, something that I feel like will satisfy me. It's being pulled by Satan to try to get us. So Satan takes my God-given legitimate desire, and he tries to bait me to go in a sinful way. Verse 14, each person is tempted when he is lured, enticed away by his own desire. The next step is deception. And here's where we need to get behind the invitation. Because that invitation, the temptation being an invitation to sin, is promising things it can't deliver. I believe that if I accept this bait, if I believe that if I do this thing, it will in some way satisfy me. So if somebody ticks me off and the invitation is anger, somewhere inside of me, I believe that if I act on my anger, it will make me feel better. And it might for a moment, but it doesn't end well because it lodges in our souls. If I use my time, if I can watch those Seinfeld episodes, it'll make me feel better than spending time with God. If I use my money to spend on myself instead of spending on groceries, it'll make me feel better. Something about the invitation lures us into believing that it will make me happy. John Piper says that sin gets its power by persuading me to believe that I will be happier if I follow it. The power of all temptation is this prospect that it will make me happier. Otherwise, we wouldn't give in to it, right? If I didn't like chocolate cake, I could walk by that chocolate cake, not give it a second glance, right? But because I love that chocolate cake, I believe it will make me happier. The truth is, it will taste good. Amen? But it will make me fatter, not happier. Fat and happy are two different things. It deceives me. He goes on, he says, then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. So the desire is there, it is attractive, and it is trying to get me to go some direction. I am deceived that it will in some way satisfy me, make me happier. And as a result of that, I take the step and I go from invitation to sin. I choose what I'm going to do. I choose to disobey. That is the moment of sin. When temptation has me, when temptation gets me to cross that line, I disobey God, deliberately act, and then it leads to death. And death is the, we'll see, it's a lot about relationships, and we'll see in a moment, it's death to this relationship with God because it pulls me away from God, at least momentarily. It's death in our relationships. And if a person never comes back to God, never comes to God, then it's spiritual death here and later. So that's the process. Temptation comes as an invitation. It looks attractive. The desire, and then it deceives me into thinking that it will be better. I act in disobedience, which leads to bad stuff. Every temptation you ever face follows that pattern, whether you recognize it or not, whether you see it, because sometimes it happens so fast that you don't recognize it. But by seeing it that way, you can stop it. Number two, the second reality is that temptation is about relationships. Is about relationships. To refuse the invitation, that is temptation, is to say yes to a relationship with God and other people. So it's not really about breaking a law or a command as much as it is breaking a relationship. We go back to the reality that life is all about relationship. Jesus said, someone asked, what's the purpose of life? Love the Lord your God. Well, your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said life is about relationship with God, relationship with other people. Since that's the context, then temptation is the invitation to break relationships. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 to 11 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have been now justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God? For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. That's relationship language. It's not just canceling our sins and forgiving us. It is reestablishing the relationship. Because the only thing we get when we accept Christ as Savior is forgiveness of sins, and we don't get relationship with God, we don't get satisfaction. Because life is about relationship with God, relationship with other people. And so he says, he reconciled us to God, reestablished the relationship by death of his son, much more. Now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. He repeats it over and over again. He says, when we're forgiven, it's about relationship. And so when temptation comes, it's about relationship. It's the decision, do I want to continue and strengthen this relationship, or do I want to hurt that relationship? And so the bullet point there is that temptation is the invitation to break God's heart. Temptation is the invitation to break God's heart. When we say disobey God, that's what we're talking about. to break God's heart by breaking God's commands and thus breaking relationship with God. When we think of God as loving Heavenly Father, we go back to the beginning of the Lord's Prayer where he says, our Father, our Daddy, our Abba Father, Daddy, who art in heaven, Almighty God, when he starts his prayer in relationship. And so it's a loving Heavenly Father saying, do this, don't do that, because this is what's better for you. Sin, the invitation to sin, is always worse for us. It's never good for us. And so it's this loving Heavenly Father who's not pointing his finger at us, scolding us, saying, you don't. It's a loving Heavenly Father who says, I love you so much. Let me put my arm around you and steer you to what is good. Because on that table, there is a chocolate cake and then there's poison chocolate cake. And God says, I've got a treat for you. Something that will really satisfy you, and it's this. But it may not look as good. Maybe smaller. Maybe there's not as much frosting as we think, because the devil's got this one all big, and we tend towards that because we think it'll be better. It'll satisfy us more. He says, no, I'm your loving Heavenly Father. I want what's best for you, so don't do these things. Don't sin. Don't accept that invitation to sin, because this is what will really satisfy. So temptation is really about the relationship, and that's what sin is. John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And most people will read a scripture like that and think that God has got his finger in our face. Obey my commandments. And it's much more a loving Heavenly Father who's sitting up here saying, come with me. I've got something good for you. Obey what I have to say. The next bullet point, breaking relationship with God damages all other relationships. When you give in to temptation, when you accept that invitation to temptation, you cross that line, you disobey God, and you sin, it damages every other relationship in your life, subconsciously or consciously. Because when you give in to temptation and you sin, you're not in relationship with God, so you can't love well. And not only that, there's this angst and there's this guilt and there's this stuff going on, because when you give in to temptation, it feels good for the moment, but with it comes this boatload of guilt and baggage. And when you're carrying around that baggage and you've got that guilt in your heart, you can't love well. You can't have a good relationship with other people. If you're giving in to temptation, I guarantee you that you are having problems with your other relationships that you don't know how to deal with. Because sinning against God always damages our relationships. A number of years ago, I heard the story about a man who went to counseling because he and his wife were having difficulties. And the counselor was working with him, and the man was just angry, just always angry, always mad. And as a result, that anger just bled over to his wife, bled over to his family, and he would do things that would just damage their relationships all the way around. And they couldn't figure it out. The counselor tried all the things that he knew how to reduce that anger, help them understand each other, live with each other better, and love each other better, and they just couldn't figure it out until finally, after a period of time, they discovered that he had a pornography addiction. And that he was living with that, and he was going to that, and he was looking at pornography consistently. And as soon as they got that taken care of, the anger disappeared. Now, who would have ever thought to connect those two things? Pornography addiction and anger with his family. It doesn't seem to be a straight line connection. But whenever there's sin in our hearts, whenever we have something that we're not being obedient to God, it bleeds over into our other relationships. And so it's a relationship issue. Temptation is a relationship issue. I want to just touch on these last two, because I just want to state them, put them out there, and then next week we're going to come back and deal with them in depth. Number three, the third reality is temptation is beatable. Temptation is beatable. Temptation is an invitation to disobey God. Temptation is about relationships, and temptation is beatable. As we saw with forgiveness, God never tells us to do something that it's impossible for us to obey. So in 1 Corinthians 10:13, our September memory verse, He says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. In other words, what you're going through, people go through all the time. You're not the only one that has to deal with this. You're not the only one that struggles with this. One of the things that Satan tries to do is to keep us secretive about what we're dealing with, because if he can do that, then and we don't ask for other people's help and accountability, then he's got us beat. So he's saying, people deal with it. Understand, there are people around you that have either dealt with it or who are going to deal with it. Every temptation is common to everybody. Even pastors. I know that's hard to believe. He says it's common to all, and God understands it because Jesus went through it. We face difficult temptations, struggles, but we have, and we'll talk about this next week, we have Jesus who went through worst temptations that we have. He understands. And he doesn't condemn us. He is there to love us and bring us back. Now notice what he says. God is faithful. God will always be there. He will always provide what you need. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. So no temptation is going to come to you that you, with the power of God, surrendering to God, using his resources, can't say no to. It is possible in every situation when you're facing temptation to obey God and to turn away from the temptation. It's not me saying that. It's the word of God. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. That's why for people who have just started following Christ, the temptations are feel big, they feel awful, but for people who have been Christians for a long time, they get stronger because they have greater ability. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But in every situation, with the temptation, he will provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. In every situation, he provides a way to choose him. To choose him, not to choose sin. You will never face something too big. Storekeeper asked, saw a little boy outside his store. He said, what are you doing, son? Little boy's eyes were fixed on a basket of apples right in front of the store. Are you trying to steal one of my apples, he said. No, sir, replied the little boy. I'm trying not to. In every situation, there's the possibility of saying no. Now we get into trouble when we stay with the temptation too long. If I hold on to that invitation, keep looking at it, keep looking at it. If I keep saying I want to get angry, I'm going to get angry. Or, boy, this money that we're supposed to spend for groceries is really, and I keep walking around the mall and I keep coming back to that same store over and over again. If I keep coming back to the invitation, if I leave that picture, that alluring picture on my computer screen, and I leave it, and I don't turn away, I don't turn it off, I just kind of leave it there. I'll just leave it there. Eventually, we will give in because we're not choosing his way of escape that we'll talk about next week. Galatians 5, 16 and 25 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Now look at me. You cannot do it in your own power. The popular philosophy in our culture is just get your willpower up there and just say, I will not do this. And what's going to happen? You're going to do it. Why? Because you're focused on it. You're looking at it, just like that little boy. You're looking at the apples instead of getting away from it and choosing God. We cannot do it in our own ability, but God says, I will provide the way of escape, and I will provide my power, my Spirit, to help you walk in step with me. Temptation is beatable. Every temptation you face, every struggle that you have, is beatable by the power of God using the resources of God. And then number four, temptation is strength training. Romans 8:28 says that God will turn everything around for good. according to his purpose. God will turn everything. He'll take even the worst situation and turn around for good. He wants to do that with temptation as well. And so temptation is strength training. When Jesus was, before, you know, when he was growing up, like we talked about with the little kids, and he grew up baptized, before he went into his public ministry, the Holy Spirit sent him into the desert. It wasn't the devil that sent him there. The Holy Spirit sent him into the desert for 40 days of fasting and fighting toe-to-toe with the devil. Because it's the resistance method of getting strong. If you want to get strong, what do you have to do with your muscles? You have to use them. Use the resistance, resistance, resistance. And the more you resist temptation, the stronger you get. So temptation is strength training. It's not inevitable, and it's not something that we're supposed to give in to. At a church camp for children, one of the counselors was leading a discussion on the purpose of God for all the different parts of creation. They all began to find good reasons for the clouds and the trees and the rocks and the rivers, and all the little kids piped up and, you know, and gave answers for that. Animals and just about everything else there is in nature. But finally, one of the children asked, if God has a purpose for everything, then why did he create poison ivy? How would you like to be the counselor? Counselor took a big, just gulped, and he struggled, and he thought, and he pondered until one of the other children piped up, and he said, the reason God made poison ivy is that he wanted us to know that there are certain things we should keep our cotton picking hands off of. Temptation is a strength build. Temptation is designed to be strength building. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of various kinds. Temptation falls in the area of trials. And sometimes they're just so powerful, they're so overwhelming. You see that chocolate cake and just so hard. That's a trial. But count it all joy. Why? For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And then let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Jesus was sent into the desert by the Holy Spirit. 40 days of resisting. Went toe-to-toe. He said no. And the Bible says he emerged from there in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he learned resistance, 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 resistance gave him a strength on his human side that gave him the ability to beat every temptation, to obey the Father in every situation, and purchase our salvation. Satan's design is to use temptation as an invitation to disobey God, to break God's heart by breaking his command. God wants to use temptation to cause us to recognize that we need him, to run to him, to experience an intimacy with him, and a strength in him that truly satisfies. Temptation is not sin. Mistakes are not sin. But temptation is the invitation to disobey God. Would you bow your heads? Next week, we will look very deliberately, in great detail about how do we choose that way of escape? How do we walk in step with the Holy Spirit so that we can overcome temptation, have victory, and live with the satisfaction and joy and contentment that God offers to us? But as we begin today, is there anything, any temptation that you've been giving into? That you've kind of said, well, I just sin and I can't help it. I've tried, but it's too big. Anything that you just need to give to God. Say, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I've tried so many times by my own willpower. But Lord, I'm going to give it to you and I'm going to trust that you're going to help me overcome. So that I'm not breaking your heart, but I'm experiencing the joy that you have for me. Just between you and God, would you just say, Lord, I give it to you. I lay it at your feet. I'm not going to be satisfied with giving in anymore. Lord, you've heard the prayers. You know the hearts. And God, as I pray that as we go through this week, you will begin to show us the way of escape, that you would fill us with your power, your strength, your presence. Because frankly, when we got these things going on, Lord, we're not enjoying the kind of life you want for us. And it might be anger, it might be something else, but God, it's not the life we want. So as we go through this week, Lord, begin to work. Prepare us for next week. Help us to discover and put on the soldiering that you want us to take. In the name of Jesus, we pray.